Hello, everyone! You have entered the battle phase. It is I, the Midnight Bard, your favorite bard. And joining me, as always, is Sacro. And together, we're living through our fifth life right now. I think that I personally decided to just chill this life, but Sacro apparently has decided to become a combat specialist.
It's the only way to really get through life, you know?
Yeah. It's the only way to get through life.
You gotta fight or you die. That's all it is, you know?
Welcome to the Battle Phase Podcast. This is the podcast where Sacro and I read and watch anime and discuss it at length. And, you know, you are welcome to listen to our bad takes. If you would do us a favor, please leave us a comment and tell us if you agree or disagree. Tell us what you're watching, what you're reading, and what you would recommend for us to watch and read. We're on socials at X, Threads, and Instagram at The Battle Phase, and we would love for you guys to reach out and talk to us. Let's see, real quick, I'm going to launch my YouTube right now because we actually had a comment from somebody on YouTube clarifying something from our Itchy the Witch episode, and I just kind of wanted to touch on it real quick just to kind of like make a correction. So this was from Gregory Hayes on YouTube, who said that Nishi and Uzazaki, who are the author and the artist for Ichi the Witch, are actually both women. During the episode, we kept referring to them as he, and it turns out that they are both women. So that's a correction that I wanted to make. Yeah, Nishi and Uzazaki wrote a great manga, drew a great manga. It's fantastic, and I can't wait to keep up with it. I would like to announce that we officially have a Patreon.
Oh. Maybe we'll do some other stuff for the Patreon. Just let us know what kind of stuff you're interested in. Maybe we'll do some fan art competitions. I don't know. Just something to
Fan art competition sounds
community.
Like a lot of fun.
It's kind of hard because we're just disembodied voices, but you know, you can draw me as handsome Scooter if you want. I'm cool with that.
I could upload like some of the avatars that I've drawn for us up onto, what do you call it, Patreon. That's a thing that I could do.
Oh yeah, that is a thing you could do. Yeah.
That's a thing that I could do, yeah. I guess that's something that you can, like, stop by and see, you know, like, if you're interested. But yeah, other than that, I mean, like, you can also sign up for my OnlyFans. It's a thing that's out there. No, it really isn't.
It's not FootFinder.com? I thought it was FootFinder.com.
Today, we're talking about, one of our listener requests. It was somebody who met us at Zach Anime while we were doing our live panel up there. And she requested that we watch The Seventh Time Loop, which was it came up during our isekai discussion where we were talking about, like, you know, isekai worlds that we would enjoy being isekai'd into, or, you know, different kinds of isekai, so on and so forth. And she brought up, well, what about, like, stories where you're not exactly taking into another world, but, like, just basically taken back in time within the same world? And I said, actually, those are kind of cool. This is how the Seventh Time Loop came up. And I actually didn't do any research on the Seventh Time Loop at all, did you?
No, I kind of just knew that it was something my wife would enjoy. So I was like, yep, I'm in. Let's go.
It's a lot like a lot of anime that I've seen, and specifically with my wife as well. So let's see. It is written by Toku Amikawa, and it was originally published as a light novel, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was published as a light novel.
I read that, at least.
It's kind of like a fantasy thing. I say fantasy, but like it really doesn't feel like it's fantasy at all, right? Because there's no magic, as far as I could tell, in the world, except for the fact that she keeps going back in time after she dies.
Yeah, yeah. Why don't we give a little rundown of the show first before we continue into our
So let's give a little recap. Her name is Risha Imgard Wurzer? What was
Weitz.
She had like a really interesting
name. Irmgard.
It's Irmgard. Weitzner. Yeah, like
it's German.
Yeah, it's German. So Risha Imgard Wurzer. Yeah. And so the thing is, she is basically engaged to, like, the crown prince of her nation, and then the crown prince, kind of being a little bit of a tool, says, I'm breaking off our engagement because you're a terrible woman, and he is eating this up, by the way, as he's publicly breaking off their engagement, humiliating her. Mm-hmm. He's just like gloating about it, you know, being like a real brat, like, oh yes, and let me read to you the crimes that you have committed. And the thing is, you know, she goes away from his presence, you know, kind of devastated. Her family won't take her back because she just brought shame to them, basically. She's got nothing that she can do. And so as she's wandering aimlessly, she comes across a caravan of merchants. And the merchants basically kind of take her in and they teach her how to be a merchant. And she lives a really fulfilling life as a merchant until she dies.
Well, she lives a life for 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years. So she dies 5 years later. And when she dies, she goes back in time to the moment that the crown prince is breaking off their engagement. And this time she says, oh, cool. Anyway, I'm going to go do the exact same thing because, you know, like my last life, I enjoyed it, but I didn't get to do everything I wanted. So I'm going to try again. And this time she misses the merchant caravan. So she tries something different. All right. Well, you know, she goes off and she learns how to be a doctor. And again, 5 years later, she dies. And she goes back exactly to the same exact spot that she goes back to every time where the prince is breaking up with her. And each time it's a little comical the way that she kind of every time she comes back, she's less and less interested in what the prince has to say. And it really drives him up a wall because he's all like, let me read to you the crimes that you have committed. She's like, yeah, you know what? I don't need that. I'm just going to go. And he's like, wait, where are you going? I got things to say.
He's like, yeah, you're just not worth my time anymore. I found this out, you know. I'll see you
later. Yeah. I won't. And so she goes through seven lives wherein she learns to do all kinds of things, right? So she starts off as a merchant, and then she's a doctor, and then she's a maid, and then she's an alchemist, and then she's a soldier. So all kinds of things. And, you know, so she's like gaining all this knowledge through each of her lives. And each of her lives, she says that she finds fulfillment in the things that she learns. But every time she dies 5 years later, and in her most recent life, which I think would have been the sixth one, she finds out, she comes face to face with the person that's the reason that she keeps dying, which is Prince Arnold, who starts a war somewhere in those 5 years. And as a result of that war, she dies every time. And whenever she's a soldier, she actually comes face to face with him for the first time. And when she does, he kills her, you know? Okay. So during her seventh time loop, as she's leaving the palace where the prince is breaking up with her, basically, she runs into him, into Prince Arnold. And she's like, oh, shit. Anyway, hasta luego, your highness, and then just jumps off a balcony.
Yeah, she just takes her shoes off. Well, no, she didn't even take her shoes off. She jumped out because she broke her heels.
No. She jumped. She took her shoes off, jumped off, and then she like snapped the heels off. I thought to like make them into flats.
Is that what she did? She snapped them off. I thought they, because I remember them breaking, and then she running wearing them.
Yeah, she broke them on purpose so that way they were flats. That's what I thought I saw.
Okay, I'm not gonna go back and rewatch it, but
anyway, like what ends up happening is because she's so weird. Like in this meeting, Prince Arnold kind of takes like an interest in her, and so whenever the other prince comes to her family home to humiliate her, basically, to be like, hey, you ran away before I could tell you why I'm breaking up with you. And she basically starts telling him off, like, listen, you're being kind of a brat. You're bringing shame to yourself. You're talking down to your subjects. I'm really not interested in anything you have to say. And then Prince Arnold shows up and says, hey, listen, if I may have a word, I'm interested in taking this woman to be my wife. And everyone's like, huh? And so, like, this kind of leads, one thing leads to another, and eventually he does take her into his kingdom, where she's basically living in his mansion as his fiancée, his bride-to-be. And it's a little bit of a story of, like, her experience from living seven different lives, or, well, six different lives, this is her seventh. Yeah, so from living six different lives, it kind of goes a long way into her kind of trying to figure out who this Prince Arnold, who has a reputation for just being cold, cruel, and uncaring, the kind of guy who would just, like, wage war on the world, trying to figure out what his deal is. And it feels to me like it's kind of like that archetype where it's like a romance novel where just unending kindness can break even like the iciest of facades. And yeah, so that's basically like a little bit of a rundown of what it is. I don't know that I would call this an isekai, but it's kind of like a, like,
it's a time loop story.
Yeah, it's like a time loop story, like kind of like a period piece too, because it is set in kind of like in medieval times. There's not any magic or anything, but it is kind of like
we've seen yet. I do wonder if magic will come in. Besides the fact that she goes back in time every time she dies, I'm not sure if there will be any other magic in the show. I don't know if I'll sure continue either. It, but we'll get to that at the end. But there were some pieces here that we need to talk about too, because it's not that he has a reputation of being a cool, cruel person. That's only comes out after the war starts, that everyone says he's like the vile person he is. People actually know him as a nice and generous person. He takes care of his people.
Yeah, he is nice and generous, but he's got kind of like that steely demeanor. And the thing is, he himself does have a little bit of a reputation, because you remember, and we'll get into this later, but his brother does mention that he killed their mother with his own hands.
He did say that, and then never brings it up again.
And so there is like a mystery behind him, and it's something that like the story kind of like keeps coming back to. They're like, hey, look, there's a reason he's like this. He's scarred from something, and it makes him a little like less good with his swordsmanship than he would like to be, because he says that like his arm is stiff around like the area where he's scarred. But he trains to overcome it because of that reason. So it's a lot of like, there's a lot of like really weird things where I'm like, these are setups to a big payoff later. But before we get started, I'd like to know, hey, if you got to start your life over, at a starting point, what would you do different?
What's the starting point?
Well, like for her, it's 5 years ago. So let's say 5 years ago.
Let's see. What was I doing 5 years ago? 2020, I was still in the military then, under house arrest, kind of, because they made us stay home for COVID. I don't know. It's kind of weird, because 2020 is not the good year to start. Maybe right after 2020, it's like 2021, maybe two.
Why don't we go back further? 2020 is not a good year to start. For example, like for me, like if there's one thing that I would like to do differently in life, is I would like to pursue my career in voice acting a lot sooner.
Yeah, about... What if we start at 18? What if we start you're just starting adulthood?
Good, because I was about to say, because I started my career voice actor 5 years ago. So like, I'm like, okay, nothing changes.
When I think about it, there's probably two different paths I would have more liked to take if I didn't decide to go to college. I would have started content creation earlier, because by the time I was like thinking about it, I just did not have the time to do it in the space I had. Because I was living at home still, and my family is, we're Mexican, so there's like a bunch of us everywhere. So I didn't have my own space, so I couldn't really record in my room, because everyone was up and about and doing this and that and everything. My mom would always play loud music in the living room just while she's walking around the house. Like, what are you doing? She's a stay-at-home mom. That's what she does. Or I would have gone and started playing League of Legends earlier, because I had a computer in my room with internet. Didn't use it for anything. It just sat there because I didn't think I could do anything on there besides go on the internet.
That's the other thing too, is the content creation. Because dude, like I literally started content creation when I was in college, but I never stayed consistent with it because I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do. My first attempt at content creation was one where I would like do like basically what you and I do now, but it was about comic books, you know, like American comic books.
Dude, there's a huge comic book section on YouTube now.
There is. And back then I would have been one of the first. But here's the thing. I was trying so hard to be like professional, like, you know, like I am here to tell you like the breaking industry news. And I had no insights into the industry. I had no way to get that knowledge. Yeah. So a lot of the times what I would be doing is kind of like regurgitating what people had already said, you know. And this here, what we do in this podcast is more my speed. I love to talk about the things I love. And, you know, like I love to talk about them with friends. So, you know, like if I had started doing that back then, I feel like it probably would have been a huge thing. But like, but all of that to say that, you know, like, yes, like the premise to the seventh time loop is interesting and I love it. Here's one thing that I would say before we get started on like discussing our opinions on it. There is one thing that I wish that the novel would do a lot more or would have done a lot more, is that I wish that we would have seen more of her past lives instead of like flashbacks into what something that she's lived, because we have no frame of reference for the things that she does until she tells us about them, you know? I almost wish that it would have been like volume one, life one, volume two, life two, or you know, like episode one, life one, episode two, life two. And then like around the middle of the anime, we would have like started into like what is her seventh life. You know what I mean?
I get why they didn't do that, because people like a slow burn romance story, but they're not going to sit through five or six lives through books where she doesn't do anything romantic in a romance based story.
I think they might have. And I see what you're saying. And I understand. Like, the thing is, it's almost like at any given point, if she's faced with a problem, we have to surmise that she can get out of it because she learned something in a past life that will get her out of it. And it's something that she tells us after the fact.
Or during.
And I'm like, or during the fact. And I'm like, ah, come on. Like, because, you know, like at this point, like you've lived six lives. You can make up anything at any point and tell us how you're getting out of this situation. And it's fine, I guess. But, you know, like I really do wish that we had a little bit more buildup. And the first episode was exactly that, right? But I feel like this could have been something that like really, if I'm going to meet you in a compromise here, like maybe not all the way to like six episodes, but maybe like two episodes at the beginning just to kind of like set up the stakes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because then we would have gotten like more understanding of the war, and we would have gotten like a little more time to kind of like simmer into the things that she might have learned in her past lives. But yeah,
I don't mind that she tells us stuff as we're supposed to know about it, because that's pretty normal for most storytelling. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to sit through all of her past lives. That's just so kind of boring. I wouldn't mind going back and seeing how she died in each life, though. Yeah, yeah,
right.
Well, I'm not going to read an entire book, because this is a light novel series, right? I'm not going to read an entire book about her first life where she's a traitor, and then, like, she dies, and then the next one, and then she dies, and the next one. That's, like, that's six books, and then the seventh would be where the actual story starts, because the main story is her trying to figure out why this war started, how this nice person that she's slowly meeting and uncovering things about would go on to become the emperor who killed and controlled the whole world, right? Who started a war to start to control the world. I don't want to know every single piece of her past. I want to know the important bits. And I also want to know why every single life she had some pretty boy dude teaching her something.
Okay. So here's the question that I was going to ask that I asked you to remind me of.
Yeah.
Do you think she fucked her teacher?
No.
Because, dude, like that was kind of like a, I don't know, towards the end there, like there was some tension between the two of them. And I understand why it is, right? Because like he's a little unhinged.
He is super unhinged. He's going to bomb the city. He's a terrorist.
Yeah, but you could like you could read that like she had something with him.
In a past life?
You know, like you could, yeah, like in a past life. Like you could read that like, hey, you know what, like.
Maybe she did.
Yeah, I was your student, but, you know.
Maybe she was in love with each of these people in different storylines, and now she's coming back to him being like, huh. But I also don't think she does, because this story plays it very straight with its romance. It wants you to be
right.
This girl is going to fall in love with this guy. The other people there are just eye candy for the audience.
True.
Like,
true. Because every boy was pretty. Chief Tully, Prince Kyle. Like literally all of them were like pretty boys. I was like, wow.
Yeah. If like, I can't believe this is a reverse harem based on how they looked, but it wasn't. None of them had showed any romantic interest in her whatsoever.
That's true. Nobody showed any romantic interest in her at all. And I honestly thought that at the very least, like, okay, look, if we are not looking at the teacher in that regard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then at least Chief Tully from the Merchants. I was like, he had a thing for her. Like, he has to. But no. Everybody was just like, no.
They just, it's one of these stories where it's not allowed because it's unneeded. It's unneeded, basically. That you want them to fall in love. That's why you're reading it. You don't care about anything else. You want to see them slowly fall in love and figure out why they're doing that and what's happening and how this is happening. Maybe one romantic rival would be fine, but they don't even want that. They're just like, nah. These people are going to fall in love. That's all we want.
And, you know, like, I think that we had enough, like, buildup in the story to kind of, like, make it, give, like, a good enough reason to why that wouldn't be the case, right? And mm-hmm. That's because, like, you remember that there was, like, a flashback early on whenever she was engaged to the original prince where she said that, like, you know, she had things that she wanted to do with her life. But in the flashback, her mom saw, like, hey, you don't have any reason to learn anything. You don't have to learn anything at all. You're engaged to the prince. Your whole purpose is to be the prince's wife and to bear an heir. That's it. And so, like, you can kind of like kind of get an idea here of why she wouldn't be romantically involved with anyone during any of these lives, because it's her chance to be free of like these expectations of that come with, like, you know, basically getting shackled down.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I have an issue with these stories for one specific reason, and it's because I'm tired of not getting any female representation in stories like this. Like, we just recently watched Yona the Dawn, and every single every single dragon she's looking for is a man. Every single one. All of them. None of them are girl. None of them were female, and because she has to be the main girl. She has to be the only girl. That's the story.
Right.
But like the male version of this story, there's always a few male characters in there to round out the cast. But literally, there's not a single girl. The closest thing we have to a girl is the feminine guy who's still straight. He's just very feminine. And
that would have been like the teacher in this one.
Yeah, yeah. So there's like
right?
there are some female characters, like the maids who only mattered for all of three episodes. And then, like, that's kind of it. And then I'm pretty sure Prince Theodore's a girl. His eyes are drawn the exact same way as every female character's.
Well, he's younger is kind of the thing. So they kind of like gave him a lot more, like, you know, feminine features. Yeah. And, you know, also he's sensitive. So, you know, like, it's just a way to emphasize that he's kind of like a more sensitive male. He's not as hardened as his brother, you know, who's like very aggressive in battle, you know, like, so all that. So I guess let me ask you, what are your opinions on the story as a whole? I kind of have a feeling that I know what you might think and what you might say, but I'm interested to hear.
So the overall story, I think the war angle's really cool. I hope they take it somewhere unique with it. But I have read this story before. In one very specific place, which is one of the oldest love stories of all time. I'm sure you've heard of it. Pride and Prejudice.
Oh, is this Pride and Prejudice?
This is Pride and Prejudice. She's Prejudice and he's Pride. Kind of. Because he's way more forward than the guy in Pride and Prejudice was. But it's like the stoic guy who has like a outward demeanor of being kind of hardened and stuff like that. And then thinks he looks down upon her. So he's Pride. She's prejudiced against the fact that she thinks he's this thing. And they find out that, no, he's not this thing. He's actually a really kind person. He actually helps people. He wants to, he's like, or loves her, but he can't tell her that because he's too prideful. It's Pride and Prejudice, basically. But the story here is a bit different, but that's kind of the initial starting point is that concept. But I've always kind of enjoyed the, you know, stoic main guy with the girl who does her best. So I like the dynamic. And I actually watched every episode. I watched it back to back to back to back. I didn't take any breaks because I was like, this is actually kind of interesting. I did not care for some of the side characters, but we'll get into that later.
Right. I guess if I was to just kind of like follow up, firstly, I thought that you would not have liked it, period, actually. I thought that you were not going to like the story at all.
Why'd you think that?
Because exactly something that you said early on, which was you've seen the story before.
Oh, you know, yeah, I have. A lot.
In order to, and it's true that there's no such thing as an original idea out there, right? I feel like for you specifically, or at least this is like my impression, is that if you've seen a story before, then the new one has to do something different enough or like interesting enough to differentiate itself from those other ones, right? And so like I kind of figured that you were going to say like, nah, this one, eh. But I'm actually very excited to hear that you actually enjoyed a lot of it. So as for me, I agree with you. This is something that I've seen before. And I guess this comes down to a genre thing. There's a whole genre of these, right? Like, I remember whenever she brought this one up specifically, I told her about why Rayliana ended up at the Duke's mansion, which is basically the same story. There's a difference in these two in that the Rayliana one, she was a person in our world who got pushed off of a roof, and when she woke up, she was in a novel that she knew. And so, like Risha, Rayliana knows how events are going to, unfold, and she has, you know, chances to make them go differently from what happened originally. Let's see. Also, in the genre of girls who get romantically involved with a very stoic and perceivably cruel individual, there's also I'm the villainess, so I'm taming the final boss. There's my next life as a villainess, all routes lead to doom. So there is a whole genre of these, right?
Yeah, there's also that said, Maggie Bride one, isn't there?
Yes, I don't know. I've never seen that one, so I don't know.
It's the one with the skull-headed guy. His magical form, whatever, it's a skull.
Oh,
guy.
The ancient Magus Bride. Yes.
A friend of mine was telling me about that, and I was reminded heavily of this story through this story.
Kind of not at all, actually.
Really?
I've seen the ancient Magus Bride, and it is a completely different thing. So that being said, it does play with some really interesting elements, because there's a couple of things that I want to know whenever I'm watching this. Firstly, I want to know, if she were to die in this life, would she be reborn again, or is this the life that she was being led into?
Yeah, I was asking the same question, actually.
Right.
And seven's like a magic number, so.
True. Seven is like a magic number, so it's possible that this is what all routes were leading to, right? And maybe she needed to lead those six other lives for the sake of having everything she would need to know in order to, you know, make this life a success. Furthermore, what is up with Prince Arnold? He has a mystery about him, and I want to know what's going on, because he seems so bored of life, or almost like he's given up. To bring it back to Fire Emblem Three Houses, he feels a little bit like Edelgard in that he's resigned himself to something that he feels he must do, and that it's going to be an unsavory thing, but there's no other choice for him, or he has never considered that there could be another choice. It's something that's talked about in the middle of the story, whenever we have the story arc with his little brother, you know? Where supposedly, I think Risha and Theodore kind of have this discussion that, you know, they know that he's decided to do something stupid and that he's basically going to throw it all away. They just don't know what. And it's almost like Risha being there is something that's slowing that down, or at the very least attempting to deviate the path that he's already decided for himself.
Yeah, I can kind of see where you're going with that specifically. He is the most interesting part of the story, too. I don't actually care that much about Risha. I think as a character, she's interesting because, she has done all these cool things and she's surprising, but she isn't surprising to me because I already know that she's done all these things. No surprising part is that she's surprising them. I know she's going to do these things. I know she's capable of all sorts of random nonsense, but they don't. Right. Oh, wow, she just jumped out of a window. Yeah, that makes sense for her past lives. Oh, wow, she turns these things into something beautiful instead of something destructive. Yeah, that makes sense. That's what she's kind of been doing. She was able to make them work together when he was I'd rather conquer a country that doesn't really need to be my ally.
Right.
What I don't understand about his is the kind of inconsistency of his character. Whereas some moments,
I've noticed
he's extremely helpful.
As well.
He's extremely helpful. Uh-huh. He wants to help his people. He gives stuff. He's nice to everybody. And then it's all of a sudden he's I'd rather conquer a country than help it. What do you mean? It's not what you're doing, though. Also, he hates
his
father.
You know what I kind of read from that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because here's kind of where I feel he's coming from with that. And I feel this is something that, you know, we would need to see a second season in order to get the full details on this. But it's brought up that Prince Arnold has been injured, right? It's true. Brought up that, you know, he killed his own mother. I feel Prince Arnold was once kind of a bright-eyed and hopeful prince, and then something really bad happened, and that kind of made him into who he is. And
yeah,
so whenever Prince Kyle is coming from the other country and he's this bright and hopeful and, you know, optimistic kind of presence, he can't help but see himself in Prince Kyle, and it makes him mad because the one thing that he keeps bringing up about Kyle is, you're being naive. And I can't help but feel like he's talking to his past self there. Like, you know, you're being naive. You're believing too much. You're hoping too much. And not being strong enough to seize this by yourself like I had to be. And that's kind of like what I'm kind of vibing with here. I'm like, hey, this is what's happening here. I feel like he's seeing his past self in Kyle and it's making him angry. So he's almost like challenging him for the sake of like trying to get him to get to where he is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, these brooding characters always have some tragic thing, but it was also kind of hinted at immediately with this scar on his neck, which,
yeah,
what makes a scar in that shape? Like,
well, according to him, it wasn't like something that made a scar in that shape, but like that he was attacked repeatedly there.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I don't remember him saying that, but I must have walked out of the room when he was talking about it. Because I was making dinner during a few of these episodes. So I was like, I'd pop in, make sure food was good, and pop back over. And it's not in English. I can't hear it. So I have to go back and like read it.
Right.
But yeah, no, all these characters always have like something in their past that's made them brooding, the Batman types, right? Batmans, right. Or like, I'm trying to think of some characters who are not super obvious.
Like Punisher?
No, I was gonna say it, but I didn't because I'm refusing to talk about some shows today. But there's some characters who are like that brooding type, you know, and they have to have an event. There has to be a canon event that sets them on this path.
Right.
So,
and I'm 100% convinced that it's his mother.
It has to be.
His dad is brought up because his dad's alive, but we never see him, you know?
No, he talks about he hates his dad though. He hates his dad.
He talks about how he hates his dad.
He has his dad's eyes, and he hates that he has his dad's eyes. But she's like, I don't see that the same way because they're your eyes. Just because they resemble his doesn't mean they're the same eyes. You know, I get the idea.
Oh, I just got it. You know what? Theory time.
All right.
It just clicked. He didn't kill his mother. His dad did. And when he tried to protect her, when he tried to step in, his dad assaulted him, and that resulted in that scar.
Oh, yeah. That's actually what I was going to bring up later. Cool, we're on the same wavelength today. Yeah,
there we are.
Yeah. I don't know. Arnold's a cool character. I hate how they said Arnold in the Japanese dub. It was so Arnoldo? Bad. Arnold. It was like Arnaldo. like Zeraldo. And it was like
same thing with like Theodore. Theodoru.
Yeah, Theodoru. I love when they take like European names and try to say them. It's just so funny. I get why they do it because you could do this in Japanese history, but that's fine. I don't care what the story stuff is. I do want to know why she was chosen to have these lives. Like what makes her so special?
And it's something that I was going to bring up too. So like I mentioned that, you know, the mysteries in here are Arnold, why he is the way he is. And, what's it called? Why is this the last life that she's supposed to lead? But the other thing is like, what magic is causing this? And, you know, subsequently, why her, you know?
Yeah, and then also what starts the war, because he's not that person who was in the war later. He's different.
Yeah, we're not there yet. So, and oh gosh, the anime kind of like leaves you right there, right? And I'm like, ah, come on.
Yeah, there's unlikely to get a second season. These shows usually get one season.
Usually, yeah, they act like a commercial for the light novel almost.
That's what I was doing research into whether it was gonna get a second season, and everyone's like, no, this is a commercial for the light novel / manga, like follow the story there. I'm like, that's stupid. I want to watch it. Like, I read enough. Like, I'm reading like a book a week at this point now because I'm finally back into reading. So I'm like, oh, let's read some stuff. But like, I want to watch it. I want to see what happens. The voice acting was good, obviously. I mean, I couldn't tell if there's any like questionable voice acting. There was some like weird breathing sound effects they use for these things, but that's an issue with voice acting altogether.
Yeah, if we're talking about like, you know, issues with the anime in particular, there was a couple of times that I noticed, and this bugs me because, you know, like I used to work as an artist, so I can kind of like see this like instantly when it happens. There was a couple of times when characters were off model. And it was like super noticeable, like the most egregious example being like there's a maid, right? And I forget her name, but like the one that's like really snooty, the one that can read.
Yeah, the reader. Yeah.
And so like as she's picking out her like who will be her maids, and she passes her up, and then she explains to her why she did it, that maid kind of like collapses into a heap and starts sobbing, right? There's a close-up on her face, and her eyes are just way off. like they're looking in opposite directions. And like, oh God, it was like so noticeable. And I was like, oh, okay, nobody quality checked this? What happened here?
I didn't see that, but I did see there was one scene where Risha was wearing some sort of new dress and her neck mm-hmm. was incredibly long for some reason.
Yes.
Like from
Risha's
the rest of her body.
Dresses had some design choices that had me like, why? Like,
yeah.
Because I don't know, dude, like there was a lot of stripes and there was a lot of like, and you know, as an artist, I'm looking at this, I was like, this would be so difficult to animate. Why would you? And maybe it's just because, like, look, we're going for period accuracy. And I'm like, I can see that. I would simplify a lot of these elements, though. But I don't
yeah,
know.
Yeah, I liked her, like, outdoor, I'm working in my herb garden dress, yeah. A little brown dress with her hair tied back. That was right. Fine. This story very much gave, I mean, the main guy kind of reminds me of Lelouch in a way, more than
a
anybody
bit,
else.
Yeah.
So he's very mm-hmm. Lelouch-like. I don't know who she would remind me of from that story. I guess nobody really. But
she reminds me of like every heroine in this genre that I've mentioned, because she is exactly Katarina Clays from My Next Life as a Villainess. She is exactly Eileen from I'm the Villainess, so I'm Taming the Final Boss. And, you know, like, so it's basically like the anime equivalent of the Manic Pixie Dream Girl, you know?
Okay. Well, they just seem like fixers to me. Like, I can fix them. And it's not a great way to look at it, but it keeps happening in a way. Because she is trying to fix them.
Isn't that, like, kind of what happens in, like, American, or, like, I should say Western romance novels, too, though? You know, like, where it's, like, he's the bad boy with like, the dark past that's weighing him down, and she's the girl who's endlessly kind and optimistic and can fix him.
Yeah, it's not just Western. It's across all mediums. People love this trope. And I hate it because it's such a toxic trait of a thing. It literally ruined people. People started dating guys who were messes to try to fix them rather than being like, yeah, no, you fix yourself and then we'll figure this out.
Like, now, there is something to be said about, like, because I'm a huge believer in, like, kindness, you know, just as a rule. And I do like to see characters, like, who are endlessly optimistic and kind, and I like to see the world change around them because of that. Now, is that a little naive to kind of expect? Yeah, yeah, it is.
It is
kind of like a thing. It is a thing that I kind of hope for all the time, is that kindness can change, you know, like, people and their views.
I mean, yeah, most of the time kindness just gets pushed down by not rudeness exactly. What's the word I'm looking for? Like selfishness, maybe?
It's got to be soft-handed, but it's got to be strong-armed too. And I believe that Risha is kind of trying to find that balance a little bit. And I feel like her lives did kind of like help her to be kind of exactly what she needed to be in these particular scenarios. You yeah. know, because she is soft with Arnold, you know, like, for example, when she tries to sing him to sleep, or not sing him to sleep, but like lull him to sleep by being in the room with him.
Mm-hmm.
But she's also difficult with him. Like, so that's the scene that comes to mind is the Firefly scene where, you know, he's basically telling her, look, I have to do what I have to do. And I like you. I care about you. But if you get in my way, I will discard you. And she says, well, okay. Discard me then. I'll find a way back. I'll keep coming back. And I'll keep finding a way to get right in front of you to, you know, to be what you need me to be. And I was like, holy cow. I'm like, yeah. So she is both kind in the soft way, but she's also kind in the way where she's like, I'm not going to let you hurt yourself or do something stupid.
Yeah. She wants to make sure he doesn't go down the path that she is already seen as ending in him basically taking over the world,
yeah.
Or at least the region. It never says how far along he gets, but he does kill a lot of people.
He does kill a lot of people. And as a matter of fact, the opening scene to the anime is him just absolutely stomping the kingdom that he's invading, right?
Oh, yeah. He's unfazed, walking through hordes of people, just insanely talented with his sword, even with his disability, his weakness on his left mm-hmm. side. He's just going through. And then she hits it barely, but not enough to even like start to cut through him. She like
right.
taps his weak spot, which I don't know.
She
it's kind of symbolic in a way, because she is his weak spot now.
True. Actually, you're very right about that.
And she hit his weak spot in their 5 seconds of fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so. It was 5 seconds.
Like she, yeah, literally was.
She got stomped.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really expect to beat this guy. He trains his troops. He trains with his troops. He's making sure he is the guy who's leading you into battle. He's not going to sit back and be like, yeah, you guys go fight for me. I'm out there fighting with you right now. And if I'm not, then I'm probably dead.
Right.
So I do like him as a character more than her, which is pretty normal.
I guess that brings us into the next thing. What's your favorite character here? Favorite character, least favorite character?
I'll go with him as her character. I think he's really interesting overall. Because I mean, he's just got like this, he is the story, like what he does and what all this stuff that's happening around him. He is the story. She's moving things along, but like, she feels more like a guardian fairy type character who kind of comes and says, do this will help you. I know how to fix this. And he's like, I have this whole litany of issues to deal with. And this girl has now become one of them, but I kind of like her. And so I don't know. I kind of like his character overall, but plus his design's pretty cool. For least favorite character, who do I pick? There's so many characters I just did not care for. I guess the alchemist is my least favorite character.
Yeah, what was his name? Like Michelle?
Mikael. Yeah.
Mikael, yeah.
They kept saying it wrong.
Yeah, I mean.
It's probably Mikael, but they kept saying Mikael.
Yeah.
Like Miguel, almost.
Yeah, and also his last name was Heaven. So is it weird, like Michael Heaven, like Archangel Michael from Heaven?
Yeah, you're right. It could have been like Michael Heaven, yeah. Which is kind of interesting. Yeah. He sees himself as like the end of the world. I get the idea behind his character, but I just, every time he's on screen, I'm just like, dude, this guy sucks. Like, if we need a villain, this is the villain. But there is no villain. The villain is the person we haven't seen yet. It's definitely the Emperor.
I would say this could be a situation where the villain is the situation, you know? Averting the war is the villain. Or like the war is the villain and averting it is how we win.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle was fine. The guy that the traitor guy. He was fine too.
Tully,
yeah. Well, his name is something different. That's like one part of his name. And then I didn't care for Theodore. Basically, none of the male characters except for the main one, which is pretty common with me in these shows. No, so I don't like any of the male characters. I just like the main guy and the main girl, which is fine.
Yeah, I would have to say that I agree.
I like Oliver.
Oliver has almost nothing to do the entire series.
He cares a lot about the main guy. He wants to. He likes her because she cares for him, and that's it. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to be likable.
Yeah, because otherwise I was gonna say like Oliver did nothing, bro. He like basically stood around while Arnold worked and had like words with Richey once or twice. I can see why though. Like because he's a real bro. You know, he's a real one.
Yeah, he's a real one. He sits there and he's like, you know, you haven't slept in 2 days, right? Okay, just letting you know, I'll be out.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's it. That's how he reacts.
I probably agree with your take, and I would say that Arnold is probably like my favorite character, and the reason why is the mystery. I want to know why. You know, like I need to know what causes this war, what pushes him over the edge. Is it something that was born of him, or was it something that just basically was inevitable because of the situation that he was put into? Because when he was attacking the foreign kingdom, he didn't even seem like he was angry or anything. He just seemed aloof, you know, like really detached, like almost like this is just me walking through an inevitability that it was just forced upon me. So Arnold is by and large the most interesting character. I do like Richey too. I think Manic Pixie Dream Girls are fine. I like them. And in this particular genre of like girls, you know, being romantically involved with a bad boy in anime, they're funny. You know, like I prefer it whenever it leans comedic. This one kind of like treats it a little straight. You know, so it's like there's not really like any comedy to it. It's more like this is a serious romance story And Richey does some silly things or things that could be construed as silly, but because you know why, like you said earlier, like, of course, you're not surprised when Richey does something because we know that she's lived other lives. I would say definitely Arnold, favorite character. Richey's fine. Least favorite character, oh, God.
Yeah.
I think Theodore kind of sucks.
Yeah, and, Theodore is close.
I gotta tell you, like, the reason Theodore sucks is because he could have been a really cool villain, and instead, you know, like, his whole thing is like, my brother doesn't love me and I love him. And I was like, ah, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I get, like, the idea behind it as someone with a little brother. If you just, like, all of a sudden just stopped caring about them because, you know, you know you're gonna go through, do something terrible, and you don't want them to have to follow you into that. I kind of get the idea, but, like, you don't just cut someone off like that, especially when you're the only person in the world they have. Clearly, they don't have any attachment to their dad at all.
Truly, yeah.
And their mom's dead.
Oh, man. But, like, the thing is, like, because the first two times we see Theodore, we see him framed like a villain figure, you know, because he's got that thing where he's sitting in the villain pose. And whenever the camera focuses on him, it doesn't focus on, like, their entire face, just like their nose and below, so that whenever they smirk, you can't see their eyes. So he's framed almost like Loki, you know what I mean? And like, his design also screams, I'm the villain. So it's something that, that just, like, to me, just didn't play out the way I expected it. As a result, I was like, yeah, this sucks.
But, do you think it was a purposeful subversion of expectations, or do you think it's
probably
more that you thought he could have been a good villain?
I don't know. I feel like it probably was intended the whole time that Theodore wasn't really as bad as he made himself out to be. Almost like a kid trying to be more grown up than he's ready to be, and Arnold just kind of has to, like, talk to him to put him in his place a little bit.
What does Theodore do also? Is he, like, the head of intelligence or whatnot? Because he has, like, people monitoring the castle everywhere for him. His retainers.
Well, now he's officially in charge of the slums.
Well, yeah, that. He was always caring for the slums because, like his brother, he cares in secret. Yeah.
But he, like, didn't do it officially at first, though. Arnold gave him that responsibility after his story arc.
Yeah, which was like two, maybe three episodes. Because, you know, they had to get through a lot in these, in just 12 episodes. Because the show is only 12 episodes long. So, of course, it has to get through everything right away. Because we have to get to the ring scene. That's the buildup.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the ring scene was nice. I liked it. If I was to talk about, like, my favorite, like, you know, romance elements in this, 100% the Firefly scene, perfect. And the helping him get to sleep scene, absolutely fantastic. I was like, okay, see,
it reminded me of Kaguya.
In romance anime. Huh?
It reminded me of Kaguya when she's sick.
When she's sick? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he shows
a
up
little
at her
bit.
House, and she pulls him to bed.
I thought that Richey was being a little bold in this particular scene. I was like, well, that's okay.
I think she was not thinking too much of the romance aspect of it. Like, I think, like you said, I don't think she's almost aromantic in a way because she didn't want to be someone's property. But she agreed to marry him because she wants to figure out what's happening in this world. But now she's also falling for him.
The thing is, you know, she agreed to marry him, like, after she had decided for herself that this life, I'm just going to be lazy, you know, like, because her whole thing was, like, all of my other lives, I chose something to devote myself into, and sometimes I worked myself almost to death. So this life, I'm just going to chill. I'm going to see if I can live a full life, you know? And so, like, I guess, you know, like, being engaged to the crown prince of a country is a good way to be, to be able to live a life of luxury and not having to worry about much, right?
Yeah.
That said, I think that, like, her whole romantic involvement with Arnold comes from the fact that she can't help herself. You know, she has to get involved because she really is just a caring person.
Yeah. No, yeah, I can see that. She just has to. She also isn't someone who can just sit on her hands and twiddle away the hours eating grapes and drinking wine. She kind of has to devote herself to something, like the rest of us. Like, we can't just, if I was paid every day or every month enough to live off of plus some to buy things, I would still want to do something. I would find some sort of work to do, something to devote myself to, because
same.
That's an unfulfilling life to me. Like,
same.
I have to have something I'm working on. I have to write a book. I have to continue my YouTube stuff. Ooh, I want to read enough to know how this works. Or I want to learn, psychology randomly, or I want to get good at music or drawing. Like, there has to be something in my life that I'm working towards at all times, or else the sadness of what life really is kind of dawns on us, you know?
Exactly. And dude, like, I'm the same way, because like, I am self-taught in so many things because I cannot stand to sit on my hands and do nothing. And I do feel like Rishe kind of has that going on too, because like the thing that I was going to get to here is that the moment that she's given the villa to live in, like, she starts cleaning it herself, you know?
Yeah,
like,
she does.
It's, she can't sit still and do nothing. So, you know, she starts getting busy. She starts planting medicinal herbs. She starts doing everything because, you know, like, doing things really does bring her joy. You know, it's just like in this life, she's doing things without the need to, like, work hard at them, so to speak. You know, like, they're not her job. They're just things she does because she enjoys them.
Yeah, she was given freedom to enjoy these things in 5 or 6 of her lives. So, like, she found that she enjoys a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you could devote one whole life to just learning how to draw, and, like, for 5 years, all you did, that's all you did, you just learned to draw. And then you, restart. You keep all this drawing skills, but you're like, well, I'm not going to devote myself to something else. So then you're like, okay, let me do voice acting. So for the next 5 years, all you did was learn voice acting. Then it resets again, because apparently that's not what you're meant to do in life still. And then you come to the third life and you're like, well, what do I do now? Like, oh, well, I've always been interested in, college. So you go to college, get a degree and whatever. I mean, for 5 years, you're only getting your bachelor's, but hey, it's a start. And then you reset again. at one point, you're just like, I have amazing skills in all these different areas, but like, I'm not meant to follow any of them. Or maybe I'm meant to use all of them in my final life. Which, I don't know what you do with all those.
I have a bachelor's degree, and I can draw, and I can voice act. I'm going to make my own anime from scratch by myself.
Yeah, you went to school for animation, so now you can make your own anime. There you go. You just need 5 lives to do it.
Or at least 15 years, because, you know, like, again, 5, 5, 5, you know, like, at least 15 True. Years to get your stuff together, which isn't too different from life.
If you started at 15, you'd be 30 by the time you got any of that done. Yeah, right. No, you could do it. Yeah, yeah. You, I mean, technically, it, we live until, like, what, we're 80? So, yeah, you got time.
You got time, right? But I think that this comes with the boon that, you know, you're almost perpetually young. Therefore, you're not experiencing the tiredness that comes with age,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, I was tired at 24. The military really takes it out of you.
I was pretty tired at 27. Retail also takes it out of you for different reasons.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, at least you're not legally allowed to be yelled at.
Am I not legally allowed to be yelled at? Because they yell at me anyway, dude.
In like, the military, they're allowed to yell at you for anything, any reason.
I can't tell you how, like, many times I got yelled at just because, you know, like, a customer was having a bad
yeah,
day.
Yeah, I was going to say customers, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not allowed to talk back because, you know, like, oh, well, the customer's always right. I was like, whoever said that never worked retail. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, no, they were clearly up in at HQ, not caring about what the actual workers were saying and feeling.
Right. So I guess last couple of thoughts here. So what do you think? Where do you think this story is going to go? And would you keep up with it if we got a season 2? I'm going to say season 2 because I know that we're probably not going to pick up the manga or light novel.
I would read it, or I would watch a season 2, but I'm going to wait for my wife to just tell me what happens because she's going to read it. I think we're going to get... So I don't think they've introduced, even as far as the novels are, the Emperor yet, because I'm looking at the wiki page and there's literally no mention of the Emperor on here at all. No picture, nothing.
Wow.
So either they have only mentioned him in the light novels and the manga hasn't caught up to where he's at yet, or he just hasn't been introduced at all and they're just really slow burning this story. I don't mind a slow burn romance story, but my favorite parts of the romance, which is the worst part, or which is the part I never do in these things, is when they actually get together and get to start doing coupley things. They never get there. They always end when the kiss happens. And then, boom, it's over. Story's done. They've fallen in love.
You can kind of, like, surmise what happens after that. I'm using the word surmise a lot today. I learned it recently. It's a nice word.
You can guess certain things. But, like, I want to see, like, their first date. I want to see them hang out. I want to see what they're like together as a couple. Like, it never happens in anime. Anime, it's specific.
A lot of people don't want to see that. Like, is it, that's even, like, in Western media that, you know, like, the moment that they get together, everybody agrees that if there's a will they, won't they? When they get together, like, all of the important stuff has happened and we don't care anymore.
I'm going to use a very specific reference that I hate. In the Harry Potter books, there's a lot of, like, angst between books 5, or I guess even parts of 4, up till the end of the series. There's so little in the books that the movies ended up having more moments with the important characters. So, like, Ron and Hermione, they don't even, as far as I remember, they don't kiss in the books at all. That was added to the movies.
Don't know.
Because there's one scene where they kiss when they're in the room of requirement in the movies. But that doesn't exist in the books because Harry isn't there. Harry's off. And the whole books are told through Harry's point of view. So you have to kind of guess a lot of the romance stuff between Ron and Hermione. Which also, I hate the combo of Ron and Hermione. It's a terrible book combo. They're toxic to each other the entire time and they end up together. It's really weird. Again, like media, where the characters that shouldn't be together realistically end up together because it's a story. Which is fine, you know, whatever. But I wish we got more than just 20 years later or 10 years later. Oh, they have kids now. And that's it. That's all we got. No moments, no buildup, nothing. Naruto did the same thing. I'm not going into Naruto, but they just cut to later. Oh, here's who's married and who has kids now. Next story. Bleach did it too.
True.
Here's who's married, who has kids now. Over. Next story. I
think that it's a thing of like romance manga. I think that, you know, like you're allowed to see a lot of those romantic moments between characters a lot more. So things like Toradora and Horimiya and even Kaguya-sama, because like
Toradora Kaguya-sama, right?
at the middle of Kaguya-sama, Miyuki and Kaguya get together and then you have like a whole 10 11 12 volumes of them actually dating until the end of the manga. So, you know,
yeah, but that'll never get shown in the anime
because we don't even know if we're getting a fourth season.
Yeah, the will they, won't they stuff is still going on by this point. They technically ended with them making a decision, so that's it. That was the end.
Yeah, so they're boyfriend, girlfriend now, if you're caught up to the anime. So if we get a season 4, we get to start seeing them dating, which was really cute, you know? And like I like how the show never lost, it never lost its interest, because there was a lot of things that were hinted at before they got together that become issues after they're together. And I'm like, oh, okay. So for a second there, I thought that the story would kind of lose its momentum, but no, it actually stays interesting, which is really nice.
I just don't think enough writers are competent enough in having characters be in relationships. They just like the idea of being in a relationship, but the buildup to it is the important part to them, not the actual, oh, they're together now.
You know, it's one of my least favorite tropes, and I hate that this is such a common thing. It's so stupid.
What is
characters
it?
Finally get together, and then one of them dies.
Oh no! It's like Angel.
It's so
remember
stupid,
an Angel
dude.
When Fred and what's the other Wesley get together finally, and then she dies and becomes. Remember when she dies and becomes like a god or something? There's a lot of those moments. Buffy does it a lot. Don't Buffy's a whole conversation I could have for a long time. It's another one of those almost like a STEM show for me.
Right.
Where I know way more about it than I should. But yeah, there's some stuff in this anime that has kind of a similar idea behind it. But it's not really metaphors, more of just like, this is what you want. You reader, you know what you want. This is what you want. Yeah. He's got a heart of gold, but he's secretly a bad person. But he's outwardly a bad person with a heart of gold. Yeah.
He's outwardly a bad person with a heart of gold. Yeah. And you know, like we know why we like that, because we want to believe that the aloof, cold, really attractive person is actually secretly really nice. Right. We want to believe like that person who is like technically dangerous and unattainable is someone that we could change. The problem that I have is like, you know, like if you change them, then they stop being the thing that you were initially attracted to. Doesn't like that bother you? I don't know, man. Like, I don't understand romance.
It's the teen romance formula, man. It's always worked and it always will.
So yeah, like the seventh time loop. I would say I enjoyed it. I really did. I'm upset that the anime doesn't look like it's going to get a second season. So, like, if we want to find out what happens, we kind of have to, like, shift media. And light novels are not a thing that I vibe with normally. I like to look at pictures while I read.
I like reading light novels, but not anymore as much. The last three I've read have been kind of just letdowns. They feel like I'm reading anime directly from the screen, and it's just not for me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Now, also, like, the translations for light novels are usually kind of they're okay. Like, you know, yeah. Like it's basically like a word for word translation, and there's like, and I understand why it is, because, you know, like, whenever you're adapted printed words, it can get tricky to adapt by embellishing or overflourishing something that wasn't originally there. So with those, you pretty much have to, like, you know, just get the main idea out.
Yeah.
Without adding anything additional, which I feel like it is fine, because you maintain the integrity of what was originally written, but at the same time, you kind of lose a lot. So I don't know. So for me personally, I probably won't shift to a different medium to try to keep up with it. But if there ever is a season two, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I'll probably have my wife tell me about it. Maybe I'll read the manga.
If your wife tells you about it, you tell me about it.
I will be sure to do that. She enjoys these kind of stories. These are kind of her favorites.
Yay. Yeah, my wife too. But I don't know. My wife recently has shifted more to manhwa. She says that she actually prefers the manhwa style of writing better.
Manhwas all feel very similar to me from the last seven I've read. So I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking deep enough in there, but...
I've had this conversation with Helix before, because, you know, like, Helix likes manhwa a lot. I was like, dude, to me, it feels like manhwa is either solo leveling or it's, you know, secret lesson, and there's no in between.
From what they've had us read so far for him and Gamma, yes, that's exactly what we've read every time.
Right. So he's like, well, you're not wrong. And I'm like, yeah, I know I'm not wrong. So... but with that being said, that's today's episode on the seventh time loop. I should say that the person who recommended this was Sukai Todd. This one is for you. We're so happy that you recommended this one to us. And yeah, I hope you liked our review. If you have something that you would like for us to read and review, hit us up on our social media at Instagram, Threads, and X at the Battle Phase. And if you're interested in hearing the uncut episodes, there probably is something uncut in this episode that didn't make it to the final cut. Be sure to, you know, check out our Patreon, where you can access the uncut episodes for $1. And with that being said, until next time, I have been the Midnight Bard. This has been Sacro.
See y'all later.
Adios! See you in another life.
See you in another life. The fifth loop.